Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome Brian Sappett to the podcast. Welcome, Brian.
Hi. Thanks, James.
So, Brian, you are the CEO of SensorTrax, which is a company that helps organizations better understand the data that they already have, whether it's through their ERP systems, their SCADA systems, and all the other systems that are out there. Now, you have 2 degrees, one in computer science and one in biochem. And then you started SensorTrax not too long ago. What in that very brief bio did I miss that you want to fill in the blanks for?
Yeah, I actually never graduated from college. So I did have a strong interest in biochem until I found the internet and computers. The internet kind of blew up when I was in college. But yeah, everything else is correct. So the vision for manufacturing analytics in the future is to really take, you know, all of that data that you mentioned, whether it's from a SCADA system, an MES system, ERPs, machine data, data from operators, and then be able to answer some of those really tough questions that manufacturers need answers to improve their processes.
Excellent. Now, you've been involved with analytics for quite a while. Prior to SensorTrax, you founded another company dealing with data. So how long have you been involved with analytics and specifically manufacturing analytics?
So in one way or another, since 1997, I mean, back then it wasn't called manufacturing analytics, but that other company that I started, we built custom software for manufacturers. So that could be things like custom ERP systems or custom shop floor data collection solutions or intranets, right? Like internal websites to do reporting, which I guess is kind of a precursor to manufacturing analytics and SensorTrax today. So a long time, 23 years, I guess.
Excellent. So what really is manufacturing analytics? Are we looking at maintenance reliability data, operational data, quality data, all of the above? What is it?
Yeah, it does. It looks at all of the data. I guess, you know, at its core, where you start is you can collect all of this unstructured data and then make it meaningful, right? Like put the context around it that a manufacturer really needs to understand it. So rather than it just being in a big, you know, mess that some IT guy's got to go and figure out, you know, all this data, whether it's quality data or production data or downtime or whatever, can be associated with, you know, a production record. So now it makes sense all of a sudden to everybody in manufacturing. Oh, you know, that I know what shift I was on, you know, who was running this machine or this line, what products were we running, what were the standards associated with it, what were all the settings on the machines, those types of things. So the answer is sort to your question is sort of yes. Like you can look at it from a downtime performance capacity view, but you can also look at it from a maintenance and reliability view, but you get this additional added benefit of understanding maintenance and reliability as it affects your production and throughput, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. You touched on a key point there. We might have all these data points, but without that contextual information, all those data points are meaningless or they don't provide as much value. When we have that context, we have how it's being used, where it was recorded, those associated production records, we actually start to get information we can act on.
Right. Exactly.
Now, and
it's interesting from a maintenance and reliability issue, right? Because you always have this discussion about, does it make sense to do kind of predictive or prescriptive maintenance and the things that we should do to shut down the line to make sure that everything's running right? Or there's the other idea of, do we run things to failure, right? And which one costs us more? Which one impacts production more, right? And if you have all of that context, you can have a much better discussion about what's right, you know, for you as an individual company.
Yeah, because there is that balance, right? Is it more cost effective to just let it fail, take the 10 minutes downtime, change out a piece of consumable part, if you will? Or does it make sense to do that preventative maintenance over and over and over? And there is that evaluation that has to be done.
Yeah.
Now, why would organizations want to use manufacturing analytics? Why not stick with the basic paper checklists, you know, doing those basic charts, those sorts of things? Why would they want to transition to this analytics?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the biggest reason really is visibility. And I was on a demo yesterday with an auto parts manufacturer, and they kind of walked through how they report and track production today. So they, just like you said, James, they take paper sheets, they put them into Excel where you get a daily report. The daily reports are rolled up into weekly reports, which are then rolled up into monthly reports, which are then rolled up into quarterly reports. And what happens is when they have the quarterly meeting and they say, oh my gosh, we had this, you know, we had really low throughput on a specific line, or we had a ton of downtime, or we had all these different quality issues on a line or in a plant. Why did that happen? And the problem is, once it's rolled all the way up to the quarterly summaries, you've lost all the detail. Not only have you lost the detail, but you probably lost all the knowledge of what happened along the way too, because people just don't remember. So that's one of the biggest reasons why, is because now it gives you that consistent visibility into what happened when, right? And you can do that analysis that you're just going to lose with Excel. And if you want to get it with Excel, it's just going to take a lot of time and effort to pull it together.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember back when I was in a plant, there was always the shift report that came from the operations supervisors. There's very limited data on there. Usually it didn't reference a maintenance work order or anything like that. So trying to figure out what actually happened based on their interpretation of it, the maintenance interpretation, and so on and so forth, that was an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, and that's like, that's a good point too, because the other thing that happens, I mean, you hit it on the head. There's a lot of finger pointing, right? Because nobody really, maybe they don't really know what happens. And maintenance is saying, hey, you know, the tool change or the setup people didn't set up the machine right, or the operator's pushing it too hard, and the operator's going, well, maintenance wasn't done right on it, you know. And this sort of focuses everybody's energy and makes it a little bit more objective rather than subjective about what they need to fix. And the other thing that it does, I mean, this one's really simple, that you can't do with paper, is a problem that almost every manufacturer has. It's like, let's say on the weekend you're running a skeleton crew, very small crew. Maybe it's just the changeover folks, or, you know, a couple of operators to make sure the machines are running. And they go over to one machine or one line and they set it up at the beginning of the shift, maybe on Saturday morning, and it's just supposed to run all day, right? Until they leave. Well, 5 minutes after they start it up, it stops and nobody goes back over and looks at it again. And all of a sudden you just lost 7.5 hours worth of production, you know. And like having very simple alerts with, you know, a manufacturing analytics system, and they all can do this, it stops that problem. I mean, think about how much money you save with, you know, making sure that that machine ran for those 7 or 8 hours of that specific shift. So,
yeah, absolutely. There's huge savings. Even like you mentioned, the elimination of time and effort that goes into proving it was someone else's fault, that has a tendency to go away as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So what does a good manufacturing analytics platform do for organizations? Is it just a data collection tool, or what else does it do?
So I think it does three things. One is it has to help you collect the data. You know, we're at a point today where most manufacturers are still doing this with paper, or if they're not doing it with paper, they're like typing it into an MES or an ERP system, like the operators are doing that on the line. So the system has to help you collect data automatically from your machines, and it has to do that pretty cost effectively and easily. The second thing it needs to do is be able to put that context around the data that we talked about before, because if you can't do that, then it's just not meaningful, right? Then you just have little squiggly lines on the screen, and you're wondering what the heck happened and still digging through Excel reports to do that. And then the third thing is being able to produce those role-based dashboards that we've kind of, I guess, hinted at as we're talking about here, but, you know, giving everybody the appropriate view into the data so they know how they can affect the performance of the machines, of the lines, of the factory as a whole, you know, so giving a view to quality, maintenance, production supervisors, management, and engineering, so that everybody's on the same page. I think it really needs to do those three things.
Excellent. Now, what happens during each one of those stages?
So it's interesting. It's like relatively simple. So like with us, and pretty much everybody out there who's a competitor to us that's cloud-based, you'll have some sort of device that runs data collection software in the plant that will talk directly to the PLCs or maybe an intermediary database like a historian or a SCADA system, the controllers in the machines, aggregates that data, and then pushes it up to the cloud. When it's aggregating that data, it's also converting it into a common format, right? So that little box has to be able to talk to, you know, Siemens PLCs and Allen Bradley and, you know, Okuma machines and MT Connect and all kinds of different, you know, protocols, because nobody has the same equipment in their plants. So you push that stuff up to the cloud. And then as the data flows in, that's when the context is being put around it, you know, so based on where it's coming from, you know, what machine, what department, what facility, what, hopefully what parts running on that, who are the operators, what are the standards associated with it. And then all that data is stored in databases up in the cloud, where then you can report on it. It's kind of relatively simple, right? I'm surprised there's not more people out there doing it and using it today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess one question that I have with that is, long term, is there something that's going to be put in place for this type of platform that talks about, you know, using artificial intelligence or various learning models to correlate data, identify trends, stuff like that?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, definitely. You know, it's kind of the first step is you gotta get the data, you gotta get good context around the data, and then you can start building those models. You know, and we see in the other side of this, and I think you know this very well, is that you have to have a lot of data to make those models work, especially if you're going to do things from a predictive failure perspective. You got to have a lot of data on the same type of equipment and the same applications. So we see, you know, from a larger manufacturer perspective, them wanting to do that, or even from like a machine manufacturer wanting to get data from their machines at customer sites to do those trends and that analysis on predictive failure. I think on the same topic, I think one of the biggest things that we could do, really anybody could do, is sort of help with automatic root cause analysis, right? So like something bad happened, and before something bad happened, something changed, right? So either the parameters on the equipment were changed, or a motor started vibrating out of the norm, or, you know, temperatures increased, or, I mean, those are simple things, but there could be a lot of different variables at work. And you should be able to set up a model to figure that out and kind of point at, hey, we think it's one of these three or four things that happened to cause this. And it saves, you know, the maintenance folks in engineering a lot of time digging through the data.
Yeah, absolutely. Trying to find that, you know, one of those causes, one of those warning indicators up front, or at least limit it to a select group so we can save that time during that RCA.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, how do organizations use the manufacturing analytics? Are they reviewing them daily? Are they, you know, deep diving when the issues come up? How are they really using these?
Yeah. So we've found that there's three things that our customers do that to be successful with it. They do use it every day and they look at it in real time. So we have, and you know, almost everybody in this space does, they have some kind of scoreboard or overhead display that you can display out on the floor, whether that's in a break room, in a department, wherever, but so that it's highly visible. And when you're displaying real-time statistics about how, you know, your equipment is running, it creates automatic accountability, right? Because now everybody knows how you're doing if you're an operator or supervisor. So that's one. And then that also, you know, gives you that visibility into, are things running when they should be and when they're not. It kind of helps stop that 7-hour scenario we talked about before. The second one is we have the ability to send out these dashboards on a schedule, right? So like end of shift reporting can be done automatically. End of week reporting can be done automatically and sent to the people that need that information for their production meetings, which kind of leads me to the third thing, which is integrating manufacturing analytics into your daily production meeting and weekly production meetings, right? So you're pulling up the dashboards, looking at what went well, looking at what went wrong, diving down into the details to discover why, and then assigning out, you know, what needs to happen to fix this the next time and what we need to watch for to make sure it doesn't happen again. So those are really the three things that people are doing on a daily basis to get benefit out of manufacturing analytics software.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. Yeah, I was working with an organization who is really focused on those daily meetings, those shift meetings, getting the data up. Although they weren't really using a manufacturing analytics platform, they were capturing it via shift reports, Excel spreadsheets, and then they would go into a room and update visual boards that way in preparation for the meetings. That rigor, though, was able to drive significant improvements in their operational performance, quality defects, downtime, those sorts of things. But it was clunky because they had to go do all that manual data collection, that manual data analysis. So I can see how this will really improve the efficiency of those meetings and further drive those operational improvements.
Yeah, and it's really just automating those best practices that that company was doing, which sort of like leads into like how culturally disruptive are these things? You know, like when you think about other manufacturing systems that you implement, like if you set up an MES system or you set up an ERP system or even to a certain extent, a computerized maintenance management system, there's like a lot of training and everything that has to go into that. You got to change what you're doing. You have to learn a brand new system. But the reality is with manufacturing analytics, if you're already following those processes that you just described, you're lowering your workload and really just replacing paper and Excel and your whiteboards with a software tool, right? So you can really drive some amazing, like you said, amazing efficiencies out of that without too much disruption culturally in the plant.
Yeah, and that's the key thing. Even if we have the manufacturing analytics platform, whether we're doing it with paper or Excel, we really got to get that culture change and get people using the tools to realize those benefits.
Yeah.
And then, now, many organizations are using OEE to try and track these losses, track this downtime, track all those things. Isn't that enough, or do organizations need to dive deeper with these analytics?
So yeah, I think they need to dive deeper. OEE drives me a little bit crazy sometimes because I think it's a good metric to look at a point in time and look at trends. But the problem with it is it hides some things, right? Because you're multiplying three numbers together to come up with a single OEE number. And small fluctuations in like quality, for example, that can be very important, won't show up in an OEE number. So what we recommend people do is you really figure out what are the metrics that are going to drive improvement in your organization, and that's what you focus on, which 90% of the time really isn't OEE. They're focusing either on maybe downtime and performance, quality and performance, or even all three of the components that make up OEE. And across our entire customer base, actually, nobody agrees what OEE actually is. I mean, everybody knows the formula, but they all track it in a slightly different way, if that makes sense.
And that is one of the biggest barriers I find with OEE as well. Even not even different customers, but even same organizations, different plants, or same plant, different areas will track it differently. What does planned maintenance downtime go into? Is it included? Is it not included? All these different things, right?
Right.
And you have that disagreement, so you can't really benchmark or see who's actually better because everyone's using it differently.
Yeah, which, you know, at least if you put a system in place, then you can have, you know, a consistent baseline, which frankly, and you probably agree with this too, that consistent baseline matters more than what the number is, right? Because then you know where you are
and where you're going. Exactly. I would rather have someone pick a metric that's important to them and measure it incorrectly as long as it's consistent, because at least they can see trends going up or down and in the wrong way, rather than have the perfect, you know, instead of changing that measure to get the results they want.
Yeah, which drives me, this is a little bit off topic, but like that whole idea of world-class OEE being 85% drives me a little crazy too, because I could make one thing a day and have over 85%. OEE and not be profitable, right? So
exactly. Exactly. You got to balance those metrics, I find.
Yeah.
Now, in your experience, what do organizations do beyond OEE then? I know you talked about focusing on whether it's availability or quality But what else can they do beyond that?
I think everything sort of derives from visibility. Being able to get a good real-time view and a long-term view into your plant and what's happening is really the most important thing. And then I think across each company, it kind of goes back to what we talked about before. It's like picking the metrics that are going to drive the improvement in your plant, like what matters to you. That's what people should do and what's really important. I would also bring in, you know, the maintenance team on all these discussions and make sure that they have ready, easy access to this data and are understanding what's causing all the downtime on the machines and how they fit into it. Because to me, you know, the manufacturing analytics data combined with the maintenance team that can really help fix and automate some of these problems is where you're going to see the most impacts and the biggest gains.
Yes, absolutely. And the one thing that you touched on is, you know, pick those metrics that are meaningful. What I find is, say the organization for them, OEE is meaningful, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is make sure maintenance understands what metrics are meaningful for them, which ones can they influence. So having an analytics platform that allows us to take that OEE, break it down to the availability part, which maintenance may be focused on more. So they can focus on that part of the metric, and they can drive the changes to that. I think that's vitally important, because if you don't have a metric that individual group can influence, it's not meaningful to them and they really don't care about it, I find.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Now, what do organizations... Go ahead.
The other thing I would say is that they need to make all of that visible across the entire organization, right? From the operator on the line all the way up to manufacturing executives. And even if it makes sense, you get into the C-suite. I mean, most of the time CEOs are not looking at this kind of data, but it creates accountability up and down the entire organization if people do that.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Now, what do organizations need to get started in manufacturing analytics?
So not much, really. They have to have some sort of quantifiable problem that they're trying to figure out. But other than that, you know, when you look at, you know, our platform and the different products that are out there, they can all start very small with, you know, just a few machines in the plant, get them connected and go from there and see how it helps them solve that quantifiable issue that they're having. It's really relatively easy to get started and pretty painless.
Excellent. Now, are there any other requirements such as, you know, organizational leadership, culture changes, stuff like that, that's required for starting into manufacturing analytics or sustaining it?
Yeah, you have to have a pretty strong leader that's going to drive it. As you know, in manufacturing, there's a lot of firefighting, right? So things constantly change, things are breaking, we're trying to catch up, keep up, and people's time is really stretched very thin. And sometimes, you know, implementing these things cannot seem like a very high priority, even though it's going to help you fix and put out all of those other fires. So having somebody who's in a leadership position that can really push this thing and make sure that it gets set up is really, really important. Kind of the culture changes, if you have that person, and once the data is visible, will start to fall in line almost automatically. It's not quite that easy, but once they start seeing how they're being measured and the performance, people will start changing their behavior to hit those numbers. But that really strong lead is probably the most important thing. And there's like basic IT infrastructure things that you have to do too, like the machines have to get connected to a network. But, you know, that's something typically the manufacturing analytics companies can help with.
Perfect. Now, are there any other thoughts on analytics that we didn't cover yet that you want to make sure we touch on?
I mean, my overall biggest thought is that people should really be looking at this. There's really no reason anymore that they should be reporting on Excel and paper. And it is worth the limited amount of time that you have to put into it to get value out of it. I think it'll help companies compete, you know, on a global stage. It'll also help with, you know, manufacturing, as we know, has a shortage of talent, right? One of the ways that you can close the talent gap is to automate and wring additional capacity out of what you have already. And this having this type of data can really help you do that. So I would say that, you know, look at it, try it, do it. And you're definitely not too busy to look at this information, because it's really going to help in the long term.
Yeah. What I actually find with not just analytics, but a lot of things, is that upfront work. Yeah. It's a little hard to take the time to look at the data, to analyze the data, to get the data set up. But eventually you're going to hit that tipping point where you're reaping so much benefits, whether it's savings in time, improved operational efficiency, improved quality, improved, you know, downtime, whatever the case is. But you need to put in that time up front to get to that point. You need to have that discipline to drive that. But once it hits that tipping point, then you get a lot of people excited, involved, interested, and they sustain it once you hit that tipping point.
Yeah, agreed.
Now, what is the one thing you think makes the biggest difference in being successful with these analytics? Is it that daily meeting? Is it that leadership? What is it?
It's the daily meeting. Like, the leadership is important to get started, but if you can integrate it into that daily meeting and it flows down through the organization, you know, through the supervisors and into the operators, that's the most important thing. And I think you know that too, just from, even if you don't have analytics, like if you're not doing the daily meeting, do the daily meeting with paper, right? And then add analytics on it, because you're going to see massive gains just from that particular meeting. But I think that's the biggest one.
Excellent. Now, if you had a magic wand, what is the one thing you would change in a typical organization you see that starting to use analytics or using analytics?
Give access to more people. That's what I would do. And then the other thing is I would use it as a carrot, not a stick, right? A lot of companies come to us and want to use it as a tool, sort of like Big Brother, to understand and sort of browbeat their operators into doing the right things. And I think it's better to kind of use the carrot approach of, look, these are the numbers we have to hit. If you were not hitting the numbers, we just need to have a very frank conversation about why and see what we can do to fix it. That would be the biggest thing. If I could wave a magic wand, is to get people to think about this in those terms rather than, you know, having it be Big Brother to watch over everybody.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. With that organization I mentioned, I was doing that daily meeting. They were in the process of implementing, I don't know if it was truly an analytics, but it was a reporting system that would roll up from areas to a plant to a region to global corporation. And that was everyone's biggest concern was, well, if these numbers aren't good, the CEO is going to see it and they're just going to beat on us. And that was everyone's biggest concern, didn't matter what plant you went to. Everyone was afraid of that. And I think that really limited how much effort or use that system got.
Yeah. And I think that's a common worry, and it's a common scenario that you see inside of manufacturing, unfortunately. But I think we've both been in plants that are very high functioning, high performing, and they don't have that culture. They have the opposite of that culture, right? That's how they got to be high performing.
Exactly. And, you know, that required a lot of change management, you know, changing that culture, which is a whole another topic that we're not going to get into, but a little bit of upfront work on communication of why we're doing this, how we're going to use it, probably would have went a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it's not hidden, it helps now, too, right? Because then there's less of an unknown. Like, if you see and you understand how you're being measured, then at least you're on the same page with management rather than running to you, you know, a week later and saying your performance was terrible. What happened? You had huge quality issues. You're fired, right? You can do something about it in the moment rather than before it's too late.
Absolutely. What is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the discussion on analytics today?
I would, if you're not super familiar with it, or even if you're just sort of thinking about it, start looking at it in detail. I mean, it doesn't have to be sensor tracks. Obviously I would prefer that, but all of these systems can provide massive value to your organization. Like I said, everybody thinks that either they're too busy or it's too complicated, and it's really not. Just go research it and see how it could really help your organization. You can start really small and grow from there. But I think it's something that all manufacturers are going to have to do. Just like almost every manufacturer has an ERP system at this point, they're going to need manufacturing analytics to really understand and improve. the performance in the plant.
Yes, absolutely. I always advocate for data-driven decision-making, not emotion-based decision-making. And I think, you know, having a tool like this definitely allows you to start making that transition, start focusing more on the data that, you know, you can support your decisions, you can justify those decisions, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, you can. And it's to kind of build on that. I mean, we know that in manufacturing, a lot of stuff is done by gut feel or even like the senses, right? So a very experienced person in manufacturing that's, you know, been in a plant for years can tell you how it's running by sound, by touching a machine, by smell, you know what I mean? And as you automate, as we get more and more automation in the plants, those senses go away because you don't have as many people out there. And you're going to have to make more data-driven decisions because you're not going to have that gut feel anymore. And I think it really, these things are just really going to become that necessary as automation grows over time. And you got to be more data-driven.
Absolutely. Now, Brian, where can people find out more about you? SensorTrax, are you guys have any webinars, white papers you can share, stuff like that?
Yeah, we do. So we actually do a webinar every Thursday at 11 o'clock Central Time. You can register for that on our website, www.sensor-tracks.com. Spelled the normal way. Our name's a little bit different. And then also on the site, we have tons of case studies, white papers that kind of talk about our vision for the future for manufacturing analytics. And then anybody can always reach out to me on LinkedIn or via email. I love connecting with different manufacturers around the world.
Excellent. Well, I'll make sure to put all those links in the show notes so people can easily access those. Now, one last question I'd like to ask everyone. Do you have any resources or your favorite resource for those that are looking to get started in analytics or want to understand it further?
Yeah, one of the best ones, there's an analyst firm called LNS Research that kind of covers shop floor and plant floor technology. They put out a lot of really good information on that. It's a good place to start, especially if you're in a larger organization, you know, multiple plants across the world. That's a really good place to start. So that's what I would suggest. Okay.
Excellent. I'll make sure to provide a link to that as well. Well, Brian, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about manufacturing analytics, what it can do for organizations, what made successful, and all those other things. So thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, James, for having me.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.